T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Right, and a big step for Josh Allen and his leadership. I talked about player-driven leadership a few minutes ago. Just a phenomenal job, and I know you guys have probably all seen the picture or pictures that have come from that. I think it's a great, a great example, that visual of what our world needs to look like, right? With the guys smiling together. Hands on each other's shoulders. I think that's a great snapshot for America.
Sean, Thad Brown, thanks again for doing this. Appreciate your time as always. I know you talked about a little bit when you addressed the camp moving from Rochester back to Buffalo this year, but when it comes to building the 2020 edition of the Bills, what do you miss? What will be lost by not being able to have that experience at Fisher, maybe more specifically?
Well, you know, like I mentioned, Thad, going away, when you're away, it just kind of frees you up a little bit, right? So specifically, to kind of give you the look behind the curtain, when you're away at camp, and I know myself, it's a little bit of a different dynamic. When I'm away, when I go back to my room to go to bed, it's just me. It's not going home to my family, right? And I think there's a little bit of a pull when for husbands and fathers and some of that. And that's all good when you're home. But when you're away, it is nice to have that. So what I've found happens in those late nights or those off times is guys spend time, in playing cards, playing dominoes. And so it just helps to build that connection. And, what we did in the dorms up there is we set up kind of, a mash area, if you will, in each entrance to each floor. So guys would also, those that don't want to play games can also, that want to get iced or rehab can also get that there. And that kind of became a little bit of a a community in and of itself where guys can get to know one another, just, laying on the ice table, getting extra treatment. And I think those kind of in between times, if you will, is where there's a lot of value in that and building our football team.
Who's the guy to stay away from when it comes to playing cards in the Bills?
I don't know. I don't go around those. The money that they throw around in some of those card games is way too high for me. I'll play for a dollar here or there, but that's why they don't invite me, because I'm not a big time money guy like that in terms of willing to ante up that type of dollar.
Well, you can play in our game anytime then. That's about our speed here in the media.
Yeah. Just like when we played golf, when I was on, I think I was on Josh and Jay's team and we had some money when we did the media golf tournament the first year. And these guys were telling me how good they were, and then they let me down. So I held up my end of the deal, but those guys didn't hold up theirs. But that's all right. I've just never gone back to the tournament since then because of it.
Thanks, Sean. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah.
Sean, thank you for doing this. I'm curious. You mentioned Josh's ability to get everybody to sort of come together in Florida. I'm curious what you're seeing from him with the Zoom meetings, and again, trying to be able to expand his leadership and, I guess, control the room, if you will.
Yeah, Mike, he continues to take steps, critical steps in all those areas that you mentioned. you know, albeit it's a little different, the venue's different right now. You know, his influence is still being felt through the Zoom meetings. You know, as you mentioned, the example just last week, and also, you know, I have a chance to dial in and listen in on some of the Zoom meetings, and I try and spread myself around. But I do spend some time in that quarterback room, and you know, Josh is number one example that he is to the other guys. You know, is an example of his leadership. You know, he's in there, he's dialed in, he's locked in with Coach Dorsey, and I would say really all of them are. It's been impressive when, if you had the chance and opportunity that I have to bounce in and out of different Zoom rooms or meeting rooms, it's the guys are locked in, the coaches are doing a phenomenal job. It's not, that part isn't easy either. Putting together your own meeting from home, you're basically your own IT guy. We have great IT support from Dan Evans, our IT director, and Jeff Moeller, our video director. But that said, at the end of the day, when the video goes down or you're having problems and you're in the middle of a meeting, you got to get it solved and fixed right there. So I just think our coaches, I've been extremely pleased with the effort they've put into it, as well as the creativity. I mean, we're in week whatever now. And so, as you guys know, Zooms were great getting, you know, started. And then I was like, this is pretty cool how we can do this. And after a while, the luster wears off. And so you've got to find ways to continue to engage and keep guys dialed in. And they've done a great job of that.
If I could follow real quick, obviously meeting Stefon Diggs in person versus having to do this through Zoom, I'm just curious what your impressions are of the player and the person thus far.
Yeah, I've enjoyed myself. I know he's had a chance to interact with the players, some of them as well, via last weekend, what have you. For me, I've really enjoyed it. You know, I think, you know, everyone, you know, when you go back and you say, hey, trade, right? So what goes into that? And so we start with a clean slate, and I've enjoyed getting to know Stefon and getting to know a little bit about his background, a little bit about his family. You know, I know he's a big workout guy, and I think just like any good relationship, it has to start with building that trust, and it has to really begin with that trust begins with respect and mutual respect for one another. And I've enjoyed the fact that he's been you know, been communicating with us and with me, and been in the meetings, and he's done a good job so far.
Thanks, Sean.
Sure, Mike.
Hey, Sean, Steve Weich. To kind of follow up Mike's question about Stefon Diggs.
What happened?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hey, hey, Sean, John Warrow. Sorry, Steve. How you doing?
Good, John. How are you?
Good.
We'll get you just, in a second.
Yeah, just to follow up on Josh Allen, how much – it's not – I'm sure you were expecting him to take these steps, but when it comes to him taking the bull by the horns and setting up and organizing these sessions, how much did you, how encouraged are you to see him take those steps, take the bull by the horns, and take further ownership of his position?
Yeah, John, very encouraged, very encouraged. And it's a critical step. That he took he took it upon himself and his own initiative to put this together. It's not, I'm sure it wasn't easy to put this type of thing together, just because, let's just start with location. And so whether we're continue to be a part or like we are now, when we come back together, this will be a feather in Josh's cap that he was able to do what he did. And you saw the response just in sheer numbers. And so that alone tells you what type of respect his teammates have for him and what type of respect Josh has for his teammates. And again, I go back to that picture. That's kind of stuck. That vision is stuck in my head. That's a great picture, albeit just the offense in some cases of our football team. And I'm extremely proud of the guys for what they did and how they did it.
And just to go back to the initial topic, I recall how much praise the players had for this team, for the Pegulas, for yourself, for the front office in having an open discussion when it came to the decision on Colin Kaepernick kneeling. It seemed to bond that team further, given how many new pieces there were to that. There seemed to be a bonding at that point. How much did you feel you? How much did you learn from that? And how much did you maybe draw upon that moment in knowing you had to address this head on, this issue head on as it arose?
Yeah, it's a great question. John, I think, look, it's every experience you try and learn from, and that was certainly one that I learned a lot from, and I think we as an organization learned a lot from. And I think you see the result of that this past week. When we had the opportunity to address our players on Monday, we did that. And Terry and Kim put out a statement they were at the forefront of this as well. And so I think that says a lot about things that we've taken from that other experience, and as well as what we're trying to do and how we're trying to lead. And Brandon's been involved in this as well from the start. So, I just think, making ourselves available, making ourselves addressing the situation, to your point, head on, has been important and will continue to be important.
Thanks, Sean, and good seeing you.
Yeah, good to see you too, John. Thanks. I'm trying to catch you, John, with my beard too.
Sean, Steve Weitz, can you hear me okay?
Gotcha, Steve. Good to
okay,
see
great.
You.
To kind of follow up, you talked a lot about leadership here. You talked about, what Stephon Diggs and that group did down in Florida. And sometimes when players come in from other teams, kind of stepping in and engaging their ability to speak up and lead is not always the easiest thing. How have you found it? Because so much of this has been remote. I mean, with guys like Mario Addison, Stephon coming in, have they just kind of tried to stay in a lane, or have they tried to exert themselves a little bit?
Well, I think it's varied a little bit, and it's what you'd expect, Steve. There's guys that have asserted themselves from a leadership standpoint a little bit more. And so what I've learned over the years in our Super Bowl year in Carolina in particular was we had some new players, some veteran players that had come in, and they really want to. There's an interesting dynamic in the locker room, right, in an NFL locker room. And very few times will you find a player that comes in right away and really, from a leadership standpoint, it does everything he can to get out in front right away, because there's such a earning it type of mentality in the locker rooms across NFL teams. And I learned that going through my time on that Super Bowl team. And so fast forward to this year, I've been, to your point, impressed with how a couple of our guys in particular that are new to our team have really asserted themselves, even though they have not yet met all of their teammates in person. And I think that's been really cool, because when you can do that, I think that really speaks of our culture, our existing culture. And it also speaks to who these individual players are and their DNA, that they feel comfortable saying, hey, listen, I'm here to win. And I know if we're going to win, I need to do my part in leading our football team. And so I think in unusual times call for unusual measures at in certain moments. And I think that's been one of the positives of our offseason to this point. I'm extremely grateful for it.
Would you mind sharing some names?
You hit Mario Addison, AJ Klein, Quentin Jefferson, just there's a couple on the defensive side. On the offensive side, you mentioned a couple that there's already been a few mentioned, and even some of the rookies have really asserted themselves more so than normal. It's been a really good rookie class to this point on the Zoom meetings, albeit, but you find leaders coming to the forefront in that class as well. And in those meetings that we have that are just separate for the rookies. A little bit different on the offensive side, just because of, how we address things with the offense from a personnel standpoint. But it's been good to see, and Josh has driven a lot of that on the offensive side. You know, John Feliciano has driven a lot of that as well. And John Brown, Cole Beasley. I mean, you're talking about a position in wide receivers that you don't always get that type of leadership. And to see John Brown and Cole Beasley do that, Andre Roberts the same way and at that position. So we've got some good veteran leaders on this football team, and it's a key aspect for us as we move forward.
Hey, Sean, Josh Reed, thanks for taking the time. I think I speak for Jay as well. We do not recall this golf tournament that you're speaking of. My question for you about
Jay, speak up. And tell him, huh?
The question for you about Leslie Frazier. You know, here's a guy who is so highly respected, not only amongst the coaching staff, but inside that locker room. How has Leslie help you and your staff and these players navigate through everything that's going on right now?
Yeah, thanks, Josh. Good to see you. And we'll set the record straight, maybe off the record, when we play again at some point. You guys, make sure you practice, though. You got some practice. Call me when you're ready. Leslie's been a huge piece of our formula here in Buffalo. You know, it's about people, right? I know, I get a lot of credit. Brandon gets a lot of credit and we certainly appreciate that. But at the end of the day, we haven't done this alone. And we've got great support in both of our staffs and everyone in our building. And Leslie's been a big part of that. And that's also part of the reason why we wanted to promote him and give him the title of assistant head coach. I mean, he's got a really good way about him. He has a history of playing in this league as well as coaching for a long time in this league. One thing about Leslie, that as you guys have got to know him, is he's very even keeled and he thinks things through. And I think as I know, I appreciate that. I know the staff and the players appreciate that. He's very cool under pressure. So Leslie's been a great sounding board for myself. And it's been interesting to watch our relationship grow, knowing that we knew each other and coached with one another years ago with Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Then we were apart for a handful of years and we stayed in touch. And now to be back together again, even in these, it's been 3 years going on four, even in these 3 years to watch our relationship grow. He has helped me in so many ways as a man, as a husband, father, son, and in my faith. And I know he's a big, he's been a big part of the equation with our football team.
Hey, Coach, good to see you. Thanks again for the time here. Not only over the past week, but going forward, how do you intend to balance what is a very rising social and racial issue with your players while also trying to complete the work that you got to get accomplished, not only for training camp, but even going forward? I know you have the Social Justice Committee. I know you have your Leadership Council. Going forward, have you kind of laid out in your mind the way you have to pay this the proper attention, you know, with knowing so many players, really all players are affected by this?
Yeah, Chris, good to see you. You know, as a country, we're all affected by it, and including the players, where everyone's affected by this, right? And so I think the biggest thing, you know, as a head coach, before I even became a head coach, I had done my research, as you guys know, and one of the reoccurring themes in head coaches that I spoke with was you get very little time to coach, to actually be a coach, a football coach, and that's real. And it's because of the leadership aspect of the job. So, you know, if you had to break it down into, you know, a pie chart, it'd probably be my amount of time on X's and O's, especially in the first year, was very little. And now I've tried to manage my time better through experience and through obviously trusting staff to take some of that off my plate so that I can expose myself to the X's and O's more. But yeah, when things add up in a situation like this, where we have this going on, we've got obviously the COVID situation going on. And so you spend a lot of time, you know, problem solving and making yourself available to dialogue and have conversations. And again, I go back to the people aspect of the job is real. And, you know, you can have scheme, you can have that. And I'm that's one of the things I've learned over the course of the last 10 years. You can have the scheme, you better have the scheme as a coach. But you also better be able to connect with people and have staff that can do the same. You know, my dad always taught me, my mom and dad both always taught me, that, you know, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I think that's a true fact. So, you know, so we've tried to do that. We'll continue to try and make ourselves available and help facilitate, our players and the action that they want to take in our community. And that's a big part of the social justice initiative that we formed, you know, 2 or 3 years ago now.
Thanks.
Sure.
Hey, Sean, thanks for taking the time today. You mentioned the rookies, and, you know, at this point, you probably would have had them at the facility about a month. Going through this process here virtually, you know, what's been different, and maybe has it made you evaluate how you, you know, onboard or rookies and bring them into the culture and the playbook and everything like that? What's this whole process been like with them?
Yeah, it's been interesting, Matt. You know, nothing's been normal, or very few things have been normal. And I would say those are the guys, that group, that class, as well as the veteran free agents, but in particular the rookies that are new to our football team. You know, it's a big time uphill climb for them, because they don't know, not only do they not know us, but they don't know our systems, our schemes. And so, and then on top of that, you talk about transitioning to life in the NFL. That's a whole nother program that we've tried to, you know, be on point with in Buffalo here with our development team, and the amount of time that they spend in helping these young men transition to life in the NFL. So it's been a challenge. And I think just awareness to that has been the first step, right? Awareness that there's a huge gap. And so we have to also then be realistic with potentially what could be their contribution level. We'll see early on in particular. So look, there could be a chance that if we don't come back until training camp, we'll see where that goes. But if we don't, that there's only basically 6 weeks and we're playing a real game that counts. And so what realistically, and just forget rookies now, I'm talking the whole team, what realistically as coaches can we expect our players to do and get good at during that time? So it's there's ongoing conversations, and we've got to be at our best as a coaching staff and as an organization as we move forward through this.
Thanks, Sean.
Sure.
Coach, good morning. Mookie Hawkins, Waffle Sports 1080. How you doing?
Good, Mookie. Good to see you.
Great. Now, going into your fourth year, Coach, potentially this is probably on paper your best roster thus far. With all the outside noise predicting you to win the division this year, do you consider that good pressure? And how will you keep your guys, your young guys, level-headed not to feed into the hype?
Yeah, games aren't won on paper.
Right.
I mean, that's the truth. Games aren't won on paper. That's the mindset we've embraced since we showed up here. If games were won on paper, we would have been we would have probably won 2 or 3 games the first year. That's probably what we were projected to win, and a handful of games the next year, and just over a handful of games last year. So I think that in and of itself is a great lesson for our football team, right, Mookie? And
yes, sir.
And you know it. But having said that, like I said before, this is it shows a sign of respect in terms of expectations, what people When expectations rise, it's a sign of respect that people have for what we've done and how we do things. That said, we embrace it. It's not going away, so we embrace it and we move forward and at the same time, staying the course and knowing that we've got to earn it. You guys know we talk a lot about that here in Buffalo. You know, wins in the NFL don't come on paper. Wins in the NFL don't come in the off season. Wins in the NFL are a result of earning the right to win, and that starts in the off season, and it continues through the preseason and training camp, and then it goes into Sunday afternoons and Monday nights. So, you know, that's something that we certainly respect, and there's a lot of work in front of us at this point.
Thank you, Coach.
Sure, Mookie.
Hi, Coach. Jenna Cottrell out of Rochester. Hope you're doing well. I was just wondering, you know, with the possibility that there's going to be a break until training camp, kind of what are your expectations for the players and kind of what's the plan in place if there is one for them?
In terms of the break, Jenna, you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, my expectations on the break, you know, are this is it's I want the players to clearly understand what's expected on the break. And the longer we've been here, the better we've gotten at setting up our players in terms of handling that break at a high level. You know, it's interesting because coaches in a normal year, you know, we're going in through the spring, coaches and players both. And then coaches kind of take a break where they can get away for, you know, 3 to 4 or 4 to 5 weeks. And then the players, though, need to understand that that's when they should be ramping up their training. And so it's a little bit of a paradox, if you will, in terms of the relationship. This year will probably be a little bit similar, but not normal as well for obvious reasons. And so what we're trying to do as information comes available to us is have the best plan in place so our players and staff know exactly what to expect. And I think with that clarity, and you guys know this, with clarity around what's expected, you can operate at a high level, and that's what we expect them to do: is to handle it well, and be in the best shape of their lives, and certainly make good decisions off the field.
Really quick, just as a follow up, just your reaction. I know you touched on it a little earlier, but seeing the video of Josh and Stephon meeting for the first time, just kind of what went through your head?
Yeah. You know, it's part of me was like, hey, that's pretty cool, you know, and I'm smiling as I'm watching it, like you saw the video, and I'm appreciative of those two young men committing, you know, going to those lengths to get together. Certainly aware of the social distancing aspect, so it made me a little bit uneasy in these times. Overall, though, it's fun to watch these guys get to know one another and come together and really become. It's cool when they can become teammates and really start to develop that love for one another.
Thanks, Coach.
Yeah, thanks, Jenna.
Hi, Sean. Thanks for taking some time for us today. I know you mentioned that you learned a lot about, you know, leading and things of that nature when you went through what you went through with the protest situation in 2017 and the way the organization handled everything. I'm curious, you know, last weekend you're kind of seeing everything that's going on in the country and knowing that it just strikes me that there's a tremendous responsibility in that first message to the team, you know, and what you're going to say. I'm wondering who you leaned on or what resources you sought out to make sure you were striking that right tone on Monday and striking the right balance, I guess, between the power that your words have, but also, like you mentioned, listening and kind of being a sounding board for guys.
Right, Matt. Good to see you as well. It's you're spot on with that. It's you want to make sure that you address. I wanted to make sure that we addressed it. Wanted to make sure that it was addressed in a genuine way, and I wanted to make sure that to your point that I counseled or got counsel from some of the members of our football team, staff included, and some people that I hold in high regard outside of our football team. And so, as you know, and you've gotten to know me, you know I do very few things on the spur of the moment. And so, but I also think that that shows how deeply I care about our football team in terms of making that investment to make sure I learned and educated myself and was aware as I possibly could of all the different variables in things. And so that I was able to address everyone because, you know, our team is a microcosm of the world. We all come from different locations geographically and different backgrounds. So my goal was to address it. My goal was to show empathy, and my goal was to make myself available in our organization as well as navigate our team or help navigate our team through this.
Outside of it being, obviously you're doing it over the computer this time, but what feels different this time as opposed to 2017? And I guess, is there any, I'm sure there, for a lot of us, there's disappointment that we're back here, you know, talking about a lot of the same things, but what feels different this time around? What do you hope will be better, I guess?
I would say from an organizational standpoint, it was referenced earlier, that was our first year together, myself and Brandon with Terry and Kim from a leadership standpoint. And so there were definitely conversations the night before, I believe it was the Denver game in 2017. And so it's important that we continue to dialogue. But just knowing where Terry and Kim now being together through that situation and many other shared experiences, knowing how they feel, I think it's just you kind of when you develop that trust and that strong relationship, you don't even have to almost look to your left. You already know how they're going to respond, or they know how I'm going to respond, or I know how Brandon's going to respond, and vice versa. And so that's a nice comforting thing to have in the relationships we've built over these years. There's a lot to learn yet. And I think that's, one of the other things I share with our team is, you talk about those words that begin with the letter L, the love, the listen, learn is a big part of it as well. And then lead from there.
Thank you, Sean.
Coach, can you give us an idea of attendance so far through off-season workouts virtually, and obviously a lot of moving parts here, but what do you think about the attendance and the turnout with your guys?
Yeah, I've been very, very, very impressed. Guys have been consistent. Obviously, sometimes, things come up like they do for all of us. But overall, very impressed and appreciative as well of the commitment, of the participation, and of the communication as well.
Hey, Coach, how you doing? It's Jay.
Jay, my golf partner. There he is, finally.
Hey, before I asked any question, I just wanted to show you this. In case you hadn't seen it.
What did you do, army crawl on the floor back there so no one saw you pick it up?
Oh, it's right behind me. It's right there. It's. I just turn around. I can reach it. So I was just waiting for the right time.
Must have been those Jordan golf shoes you were sporting that day.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Well, yeah. All right. So, yeah, that's it. That's all I wanted to show you. No, I'm just kidding. We know that you're in this Zoom off-season program, right? But can you give us as many specifics, I guess, as possible as to what it looks like on a day-by-day or maybe even week-by-week basis? I mean, what exactly are the guys doing? Are coaches going through plays? How does it look, I guess?
Right. So I look behind the curtain for our team, and it may be different for other teams, but for our team is we'll start in the morning with some rookie meetings just to give the rookies just their own chance to get comfortable with their coach, position coach, ask questions that they have burning in their head maybe from the day before. And then on normal days, then they'll get together, come together. We'll come together as a team, potentially in a team meeting format, or we'll go right into unit meetings, offense, defensively, And then special teams will got involved in the last probably 3 or 4 weeks. In the first couple of weeks, we did not involve special teams just to make it a little more offense and defense based and get them going with a good foundation that way. And then the rookies end up the day with back with their position coaches and then also in the rookie development program that is led by our development team, Len Vandenbos and his staff. And so that what that really does is work on, again, as I mentioned before, transitioning to life in the NFL and off the field.
Thanks. And then, Sean, I wanted to follow up on one thing that was from earlier this offseason. There was a story written about the culture within PSC right now, and there was a reference made to possibly some concern on your part regarding a low morale within the company. I don't believe that you have been asked about that since that point. Is there anything that you can comment on or you would like to say about that, about the morale within the company and your feelings on it?
Yeah, any concern that I have, Jay, is addressed directly to Terry and Kim. And then outside of that, overall, I'm encouraged by where things are going. As you know, when we arrived here a few years ago, I think things have changed drastically since that time. And I'm focused on the Bills, and I'm focused on leading a football team and an organization along with Brandon Bean to the best of my ability. And I'm excited about the future. I really am, and I'm excited about the people we have brought on board. Obviously that no one wants what's going on now, and the challenges that we have, but it's an exciting time, in Buffalo and I'm proud to be a part of it.
Thanks, Sean.
Yeah. Thanks, Jay.
Hey, Sean, it's Sal. Let me clarify here. I was your partner that day at that tournament, and I have always owned that I sucked that day. So I'll just get that out there. I let you down, and I've always owned it. So just wanted to clarify.
Hey, Sal. So you basically sent me to – that was my last dance. I know Jay wore the Jordans, but that was Sean McDermott's last dance. He sent me into retirement on the golf course, man. I haven't golfed since.
And now I've retired because my shoulder's destroyed. So we're both done. I'll wrap it up real quick. Have you been given any direction by the league in terms of – would it be possible to hold a slightly longer training camp at your facility because you've had such, no practices at all? And secondly, any direction on preseason games? Do you have you been told what's going to happen? Are you going to play all four? Do you have any direction on stuff like that?
Right, Sal. So what I know to this point is that as far as the preseason games go, that we are expected to play on schedule. That's the latest that I know from the league. I'm sure, more information will be forthcoming where and as necessary. And then the other thing, what was your other question about?
In terms of training camp, do you think you'll be allowed maybe to have a slightly longer camp because you've lost all these practices leading up to camp?
Right. Yeah. I mean, we'll see. I think that those will be things that the league and the NFLPA discuss amongst themselves. I do think, that certainly we've seen the injury when you go back to 2011, the last time we had a work stoppage or anything, not to put those two in the same category with COVID situation now, because they're not. But anytime we've been away like this, we saw a spike in injuries that year. And so we want to make sure whether we do get extended time or not, that we as a coaching staff do our best to acclimate our players early on in the training camp process.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.